welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say that really so often, but again, we also say it sincerely. It's good to get together. Spend time not only in friendship and fellowship, but as a congregation to give our worship and praise to God. Good to be here. I heard you came home Friday. Good to see you out there. Different kind of food, right?
At home?
But different. Here you come. You're very welcome. Don't keep your Bibles open to the text that was read to us. I'll be making references almost on nearly every major point. So you keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 2. You're welcome to follow along and kind of read in between the verses that I highlight. You think about it, people think that this is probably a seasonal message, but it's not. Once we get through or looking at the point that we made and the lesson that's contained in the story of the wise men, this is a lesson that's fit for every month of the year. So it can be preached in July and August. But by way of introduction, didn't put this in your notes, but there's really two questions. They're kind of interesting, or that people talk about. Number one is, how many wise men were there? Really an insignificant question, doesn't matter. But people always want to know, how many wise men? A lot of things we can learn from the text, but the text does not tell us how many wise men there were. We always, or many people say three wise men just because there were three gifts. But a couple of wise men could have gone together in bringing gold. Another couple or a few more wise men could have got together and contributed frankincense. And even a whole other group of wise men could have went together and brought myrrh. Or two wise men could have given three gifts. We just don't know. We just know there was more than one wise man. There came wise men from the east. Doesn't matter about their number. It's kind of ironical. And we often try to be so wise in figuring out things like that we overlook the greater lesson that's being taught. The second question that comes up is, in what way were they wise? What way were they wise? Because when you read the text, they're called wise men even before they began their search for the Christ child. So evidently, they were the wise men of the day. They were no doubt held in high esteem by others. One translation refers to them as magi, which means they were the astrologers of the day. But as far as their wisdom is concerned, before this account in Matthew, we're going to have to take somebody else's word that they were wise men. So in our lesson this morning, we have definite proof of their wisdom. So regardless of any wisdom they held before this event, we see their wisdom in searching for Jesus. And that's our lesson. The marks of wisdom in the wise men. The wisdom that they displayed. And then looking at their wisdom, you can see in the conclusion, or the last point we make, is in comparison to their wisdom in searching for the Christ child, how wise are you? Or how wise am I? So let's note the wisdom of the wise men. Number one, they were interested in Jesus. And that's always a good starting point. Some people in our day, you say, man, I talk to you about Jesus, they say, oh no. If I ever have a need for Jesus, I'll let you know. You don't call me, we'll call you. I'm just not interested. Well, that's not a mark of wisdom. Wise men were interested. And when someone gives you information about Jesus, you ought to be interested. Because there's something about Jesus that's very interesting. He was introduced to Joseph and Mary in Matthew 1, verse 21. He says, the angel said, she, meaning Mary, shall bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. No other person person that I know of was born for that purpose. That's interesting. Not only that, but when Peter makes reference to Jesus, he says Jesus did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. I don't know anyone who's ever lived a life like that. No sin. Jesus is interesting. Peter went on to say, meaning for Jesus, he, who his own self bare our sin in his body on the tree. And so by his stripes, we are healed. I don't know if anybody else's death could accomplish that. So when you think about Jesus, he's interesting. And when you learn, the more you learn about Jesus, the more interesting he becomes. So that's a good place to start. Oh, I'm interested in Jesus. That's a mark of wisdom. Number two, they were ready to search for Jesus. Some people will say, oh, that's interesting. And then, oh, yeah, that's all I wanted to know. Just a few facts about Jesus. That's interesting. Oh, but that should lead us to a search. In verse 2, the wise men said, where is he that's born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We are come to worship him. That was the purpose of the search. That's interesting about Jesus. We want to search. We want to find the Christ child. Now, by an added note, the text was read to us. Herod was searching too. He wanted to know where the Christ child was, but he was searching for the wrong reason. Even the verse says, the news of Herod troubled, or the news of Jesus' birth troubled Herod, but it thrilled the wise men. Herod's interest was one of worry. The wise men's interest was one of worship. Herod was jealous because Jesus would be made king. The wise men were zealous in their service. So they were, because of their interest in Jesus, they began a search for Jesus. Tell me more. Number three, they didn't let someone else do their searching. Now in verses 7 and 8, Herod sent the wise men away with a request. And when you found him, bring me word. He'll tell me where he is, that I may come and worship him. Really? Remember, you read the text of more Herod lies. He didn't want to find Jesus. He was interested. But he let the wise men do their searching, but he wasn't interested in Jesus to give him worship. He was interested in Jesus to give him destruction. He wanted someone else to do the searching. The wise men were not so foolish. So the lesson is, in your search for Jesus, don't blindly accept what I've told you. Don't accept what others have told you. Search for yourself. And that's the admonition in the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, it says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So you'll want to prove what I've been presenting to you. You'll want to see for yourself. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and then it gives the reason. In that, they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that the apostles had said were so. Wait a minute. These are the apostles giving the lesson, brethren. But the Berean brethren said, oh, let me look that up. Let me check that check. Let me just see, apostles. As fine and dandy as you are, as much as I appreciate your labor and your work, let me just check that. It's a mark of wisdom. You need to search for yourself. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. Number four, mark of wisdom, they were not too proud to ask for guidance. In verse 2, they came to Jerusalem and they asked, where? Where? I'll put your notes, wow. Men stopping to ask for directions. ask for help. Verify what you're being told by the Bible. The Bible says, you know, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture, the Bible, given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, in case I'm not thinking the right thing, and instruction, the man of God might be present himself righteously or correct. So the Bible is our proof text. How do we know that what we're doing in worship is correct? Oh, we open our Bible and see. How do I do that? How do I know that I've had my sins forgiven the right way? Oh, we open our Bible. And if the Bible disagrees with what this group or this person or individual says over here, I'm taking up with the Bible. Mark of wisdom. They were not too proud to ask for guidance. Number five, they listened to the voice of God rather than man. It's in verse 12. But remember back in verses 8 and 9, you know, Herod the king asked them to return when they found Jesus. But in verse 12, God warned them in a dream to do something else. Oh man, what am I going to do now? That's the that said, come back and tell him where we found the Christ. It's the king. Can't refuse this noble man. Or should we obey God? The king says to do something different than what God said. Whoa. God's given the world a message unchanging in the Bible. In our day, someone we regard as high and noble in religion may tell us something different than what the Bible says. Just look at the variety of religions in our world today. Why do you believe what you believe? Well, our church manual says this. Or our book of discipline says this. Or, you know, this is a very old religion, so I'm going to kind of cling to that. Or, you know, we have a conference every year in our religion, and they decide what we're going to believe. Open the book. Open the book. We need to conclude with Peter in Acts 5, verse 29, when they were commanded, don't preach in this city. He said, oh, we ought to obey God rather than man. Even when the majority rules, or the voice of popular opinion is against what the Bible says, you think, oh, can that many people be wrong? This way, yeah. You go with what the Bible says. That's the safest possible position. Understand that? That's the safest possible position, is to do what the Bible says. So the mark of wisdom, they disobeyed the king. Number six, they were willing to pay the price to find Jesus. And when these men started out, I don't know, they probably knew maybe the length of the journey. Maybe they didn't know how much expense would be involved. Or what barriers they would face in their search. Maybe they didn't know how long they'd be away from home. How much effort it would take. But in their wisdom, they decided that finding the Christ child would be worth all of the effort. So they were willing to seek and to search. They were willing to take the journey. They were willing to put the effort in. They were willing to pay the price. And too many people are not willing to pay the price for success. But they'll gladly pay the price for failure. Number seven, they didn't stop until they found Jesus. Verse 9. And many people start out with good intentions. Maybe you're one of those today that may have gone a long way in your search to find Jesus and salvation. You've already put some study in. You've asked questions. You've attended the assembly over and over and over again. You've gone a long way on your journey to find salvation or find Jesus. some people, when they find Jesus and their questions have been answered, they stop their search and refuse to go any farther. They say, all right, my curiosity has been satisfied now. The Apostle Paul asked in Galatians 5, verse 7, you did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Oh, there's still some more to do. But these Galatian brethren have gone a long way in their search. And then they stop. Paul says, oh no, who stopped you in your continuing search and growth? Spirituality and your preaching. Why'd you stop? I'm satisfied with my progress right now. Agrippa said when Paul preached to him in Acts 26, almost you persuaded me to become a Christian. Oh, so close, Agrippa. Agrippa came a long way. But, oh, I'm going to stop right here. Felix said, I'll call you when I have a convenient season. The wise men did not stop with Jesus in view. So don't you stop in your search for Jesus, for salvation. Number 8, when they found Jesus, they showed their devotion in worshiping, in verse 11. And some people, in finding Jesus, you know, even in becoming a Christian and having been baptized for remission of sins, they stop their search and they don't continue on in worship. Oh, it's not a wise decision. The lesson today is with the wisdom of the wise men. How do we know they were wise men? Because they didn't stop their search when they found the Christ. And they say, oh, there he is. I turn those camels around. Go back home. Did you see him? Yeah. All right, let's go. No. They stayed. They gave their worship to Jesus. Finding Jesus is not the end. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, there's still more to do. You see, when we're baptized and become a Christian, that's the commencement, not the graduation. That's the start of the Christian life, not the end. And the mark of wisdom is when you find the Christ child, you find the Christ and you get salvation, you stay there and you worship. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, Hebrews said, let's hold fast our profession of faith. Hold it fast. Nothing tight. Hang on to that. Hug it. Keep it dear. And do that, the Bible says, without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Let's consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Then it gives it a little aside, as the manner of the custom of some are. Well, yeah, there's some. They stop their search. Or they say, we found salvation. That's good enough for me. I'll call you. No. But exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Then number 9, the last one. They prove their sincerity by giving to Jesus. In your search for salvation, don't just be satisfied by saying, thank you, God. And we all want to be thankful, that's for sure. Thank you. God, you provided for me something I could not provide for myself. You've given me something that I need and that I can't earn, I can't make, I can't build. God, I needed you to provide for me. Thank you. Now, more than just a verbal thank you, it's a show and tell religion. And so these wise men, the mark of wisdom, when they found the Christ child, they gave, and they gave the best they had. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. They gave all that preparation in the journey. They gave the expense of the journey. So when you and I and we'll want to give what we have. And we want to plan for that as part of our journey in finding salvation. An attitude that with forethought says, you know, when I become a Christian, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue in worship, and I'm going to give time and talent and treasure. I'm going to think ahead to do that. So, Mark, so the bottom line is, we put in your notes, we see the wisdom of the wise men. If you're wise, you will still seek him. So the personal question now becomes, how wise are you? If you're not a Christian, how wise are you in comparison to the wisdom of the wise men? That's the lesson. So again, we're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. You know, remember the New Testament church, we have not been baptized for remission of sin. We can accomplish that this morning. All things are ready. Provisions have been made. So if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, having heard the gospel message, and you believe it, that God so loved the world, sent his son, and you're willing to turn your life around, meaning live for him, live a Christian life, you're willing to confess your faith before the assembly here, that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's son, you can be baptized. Right to walk is, the Bible uses the phrase, newness of life. Jesus uses the phrase, born again. So there's a lot of things you don't know. You may not be aware of, but you've just been born. So now new life begins, and then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation we always do.